This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holidayinstall to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi and continuing coverage of the case against Brian Koberger.
So the news dropped like a pipe, a lead pipe. Brian Koberger pled guilty. No trial, no testimony, no death penalty. Just 4 counts of first degree murder, quietly accepted in an Idaho courtroom after nearly 3 years of legal warfare, speculation, and public obsession. And while some may see that headline and think, finally, closure, what lies underneath that deal is a whole lot more complicated, legally, emotionally, and ethically. There are families right now who are gutted, furious. Two of them say this deal stole justice right out from under their feet. Others are trying to breathe through the pain, make sense of it, and move on. But let's not pretend this was clean or that the state handled it with the kind of clarity or compassion the public expected. We got no real answers, no motive, no trial, just a PDF on a Sunday night and an unceremonious courtroom confession. So, what happened behind the scenes? Why now? Why wait 2.5 years, burn through taxpayer money, leave grieving families in limbo, only to settle when you could have done all of that from the start? And was this really a strategic win for the defense, or a sign that everyone involved, from prosecution to Koberger himself, realized the trial was a bigger risk than they could manage? To help us unpack all of it, I sat down with criminal defense attorney Bob Mata, the guy who's been in the trenches of murder cases and knows what goes into these decisions on courtrooms, in courtrooms. Conversation goes beyond the headlines and how these plea deals are crafted, why this one may have been timed the way it was, or what it means when even the victim's families say they were blindsided. I want to know what you think in the comments section on YouTube. So if you're not there already, search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi on YouTube so you can participate in the comments. Hit subscribe if you're watching us on the podcast platforms as well so you don't miss any of this case and the many we follow for you here at the Hidden Killers podcast in True Crime Today. So here's the real question I start with. Was this always the plan from day one, or did the defense just outmaneuver the state in the 11th hour?
I love this question. And ironically, when we found out, because it was Friday, right?
Yeah, I think so.
That he was pleading, my father had just had a stroke.
Yeah.
So I was in the hospital with my dad, because I had just gotten done with like some softball with my daughter when the news kind of broke. And then I'm like, and it was kind of like one of those things, and you and I both is kind of, you know, reporters, and we like to get things out as soon as possible. I'm like, man, it's like this every time for me, where I've got some kind of real life family shit going on when something huge breaks. Like I think I was stuck at like Crime Con when they dismissed like Alec Baldwin's charges.
Yeah.
And like when that whole thing went on, I'm like, oh, cause that, like, for me, that was like a huge story, because you've got a prosecutor getting flame thrown. You got her taking the stand. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I was like, when that news broke, I saw it on Twitter, and I told Allie, I'm like, holy shit, Koberger's taking a plea. Yeah. And yeah, so that was it. And then, I was shocked and not shocked, both. You know what I mean? It's like, I was shocked because of the timing, in that the judge, Hippler, had just ruled on their motion to continue. So, you know, you have Ann Taylor just, you know, a few weeks earlier preparing a very lengthy motion to continue motion, which he denied. And then, which kind of shows you where her mindset was. She's asking for more time for multiple reasons. One of those being the Dateline episode. Others, you know, I just haven't had time to get through the thousands of files, the 16 terabytes or 30 terabytes, whatever the fuck it is. And then, you know, the other part of it, like the background stuff. So I'm thinking, all right, well, like when I see that as an attorney, I'm like, okay, she's going to trial on this, because the fact of the matter is, Tony, many, many cases end up settling or, you know, pleading out on the doorstep 11th hour.
Yeah.
That's not unusual, you know, but in a death penalty case like this, you know, it was a little surprising, and you could tell from the fact that she had filed that there had been no substantive discussions about a plea. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Cause like typically, in those types of cases, like when we handled Garcia, which was a death penalty case, they made that offer very early so that they didn't have to do all the work preparing for trial, because you can never assume as attorneys, no matter if you're on the defense side or the prosecution side, that either the defendant's going to take a plea or that the state's going to offer it. Mm-hmm. So you have to just do the work as if you're going to trial. So when they made that offer early in Garcia, and we went to our client, he's like, absolutely not. You know, I didn't do this. We knew that we were, you know, we had to prepare for the fight. Now, that doesn't mean that down the road, he's not going to change his mind. His evidence continues to come in, and discovery, you know, continues to come in as they build the case, which, you know, in these types of cases, you get two years post arrest, they are continuing to investigate. It's like this concept that I think some people think that once the arrest is made, they're done investigating. Nothing could be further from the truth. Mm-hmm. That's when they have more access to the defendant than ever.
Yeah.
So, you know, and they're trying to get more evidence. They always want to have as much evidence at their disposal as possible to get a conviction. So they're going to keep, you know, digging and digging and digging up until trial. So you see it in every case. So yeah, I was surprised and not surprised, which I'm sure we'll get into a little bit more. We start talking about some of the reactions from some of the families in terms of how they were treated by the prosecution in terms of that decision that was made by the prosecution. But it was kind of a crazy day.
Why 2.5 years in, I guess, is the big question. Why was there not an offer made early on? Why last minute? That's my question.
I think, like, if I had to guess, man, you know, like initially, because like if we recollect back when Ann Taylor was appointed to the case, right? I remember her coming out and making a statement to the effect that he was factually innocent. Mm-hmm. Okay. Which means that my guy did not do this. You have the wrong guy, which technically is unethical. Like, we as defense attorneys are not supposed to go out and say that. Mm-hmm. Like, we can go out and say, you know, my client is presumed innocent.
Yeah.
And, you know, the state has to prove their case and that kind of thing. To go out on a limb as a defense attorney and like kind of break the rules and say, you know, my client is factually innocent, he didn't do this, is a different thing than saying he's presumed innocent, right?
Yeah.
So when she did that, I think the state was of the mindset that, all right, well, and I think that if we were to look back, she probably said that prior to.
Yeah.
You know, because when you are a defense attorney and you're having those initial conversations with your client pre-trial, you don't have the discovery yet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like I talk about it on my podcast all the time. You know, it's like I don't have, like, it's not the real world where you have clients that come in and, you know, they confess to you. Like, mm-hmm. that's the movies and TV. That's not real life.
Yeah.
A vast majority of the time they're going to come in and they're going to say, and I asked the question very carefully. I'm saying, don't tell me what you did. Tell me what they're saying that you did. Mm-hmm. They being the government.
Yeah.
Right. Cause that's a different question as well. And, you know, at that point, if they're denying it, when I start getting discovery and I start seeing the evidence, that's when I have another conversation with my client wherein I'm saying, all right, you need to come into the office. I just got a big discovery dump. I've gone through it. I've got some problems. I've got some questions I need to ask you. And that's where I'm saying, you know, at this point, you lying to me is pointless. Mm-hmm. You know, for me to be able to help you, you have to be truthful with me because, you know, if things are rebuttable, don't have me spinning my wheels on things that I'm not going to be able to disprove, you know, in terms of evidence.
Then what let me ask you right there in that moment of that question, because I don't want to lose it. What if they say I did it at that moment in time? Like, yeah, I did do it.
If they said that they did it, typically I'm saying, all right, well, then, and it depends on what type of case we're talking about. If we're talking about a murder, you know, that's one thing. If we're talking about, because I mean, and what I'm talking about in terms of that is sentencing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if it's a first or second degree murder, the sentence range is heavy either way. You know, so in terms of what I'm going to be able to accomplish in terms of a plea agreement, is very limited.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're talking about your more run-of-the-mill, not super high felonies, but low felony cases, which is what a bulk of criminal defense attorneys' practices are, you know, you're not getting murder case after murder case mm-hmm. running in because most of those people can't afford private counsel anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're far and few between. So usually our practice is filled with your like I said, your run-of-the-mill felonies. And if I am of the mindset that they overcharge the case, which they do all the time, or in the event that I think that they're asking for too much time if they've made a plea offer, which they usually do in those cases. Like those cases, you're usually in the lower felonies. You're always going to get some kind of offer from the state. They'll give it to you early. They want to try to get it off their docket. They want to get the case closed. They're like, this is what our evidence is. This is what our offer is. You've got 2 weeks or the offer's, you know, null and void.
Yeah.
So they try to put the pressure on us early on. And if we get the discovery, we're like, well, you know, there's some issues here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is a case where it's fightable. But if I have a client in a case where they're like, I did it, I'm shifting my focus. My focus is then, all right, well, you've now made a confession to me. You've admitted your guilt. I could never put you on the stand to lie. I'm not going to mm-hmm. suborn perjury. It's completely unethical. It's illegal.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to do it. So my job then becomes trying to negotiate a plea that fits the crime, because that's where a lot of the, you know, the back and forth between the defense mm-hmm. and the prosecution is, are they making an offer that's fair? And again, when you're talking about an intentional homicide, yeah, there's not much wiggle room. You know what I'm saying? So it's like that's a pretty short negotiation.
There you have it. A rare window into how these decisions actually get made. Not just the "we reached a deal" soundbite, but the brutal calculus behind it. A case that was marketed to the public as airtight, confident, and ready for trial. Now resolved quietly with no jury, no cross-examination, and no closure. And what Bob walked us through paints a much murkier picture than most people are ready for. What sticks with me is the idea that this plea deal didn't have to happen this way. It could have been offered 2 years ago. It could have spared the families a long road of emotional hell. But it wasn't. Because of pride, politics, fear of rogue juror, or maybe just a failure to read the room. Whatever the reason, the system chose secrecy over transparency again. And let's talk about the courtroom dynamic for a second. Koberger standing there like a kid waiting for his trophy. No remorse, no humanity, just a cold, robotic presence soaking up the spotlight for a final moment of control. You could feel it. And yet, there he is, in the spotlight again, getting exactly what he wanted. We did not get a trial, but Koberger still wins in his own twisted way. Infamy, study, notoriety. His name lives on while the victim's stories keep getting reduced to courtroom footnotes. We also have to ask, what now? With sentencing approaching, the only real emotional catharsis left lies with the families. Their victim impact statements, their moment. And we don't know what Koberger will do. Will he speak? Will he stay silent? And does any of it even matter anymore? But here's what does matter. Accountability for the state, for how this was communicated, for the decisions made behind closed doors, and for a justice system that still struggles to balance law with empathy and truth with timing. If this episode got you unsettled, good. That means you're paying attention. Because sometimes justice doesn't show up with a gavel. It shows up when we demand better. In the comments, tell me what you think on YouTube. If you're not there already, search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, and you'll find us, and you can comment and hear your voice. We want to hear your voice, so please do check that out on YouTube. If you're listening on the podcast platforms, Apple Podcasts, wherever it may be, thank you and hit subscribe. We greatly appreciate that support. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We will talk again real soon.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Dreaming of blissful summer days and creamy popsicles? Capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water can help hydrate you better than water alone. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout.
Hey everybody, it's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? Yeah, that's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping too.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.